What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. We're three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys. Well, happy Friday. This is the last show of the week for the Locked On Chargers podcast, and we have a lot to get into today. And we're going to start, as we usually do on Fridays, with the injury report and tell you what Chargers are probably going to play and not play. It's an extremely lean injury report this week, which is always a good thing for the Chargers. It's actually the leanest injury report that we've seen this season. So only five names for the Chargers pop up on the injury report this week, which is always good news around this injury-riddled team. So we'll start with that, and then we'll go ahead and get into our fan voicemail Friday segment. We have four voicemails to get into today. You guys are definitely going to like those. A lot about the Chargers' future, draft prospects, a little bit more from the game and that pass interference call. Unfortunately, we talk about that again. But then we'll go ahead and wrap things up, as we always do on Friday shows, with John Kegley's all-time series notes. This is one of the few teams that the Chargers have a winning record against all-time. And then end things with our bold predictions offensively and defensively, and our game predictions for this weekend against the Jaguars. So let's go ahead and get into it, guys. This is your Locked On Chargers lead story. I'm Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer. We now have the latest injury report for the Chargers as of Thursday. And David, it is one of the leanest Chargers injury reports that we've seen this year, which is always good news for the Chargers. Only five players show up on the list, so we're going to get into that. On the Jaguars side of the ball, they have a lot of guys on the list. There's not many of them we know are playing or not, but some of the bigger names on the list are Calais Campbell, who didn't practice on Tuesday but practiced in a limited capacity on Wednesday. DJ Chark has been a limited participant all week at practice. Starting corner AJ Bouye and DJ Hayden both show up on the list as limited participants at some point in the week. So there's a lot of names on there, but no name on there that is going to dramatically help the Chargers. At least at this point, we don't know if these guys are going to play, but more than likely, most of their starters are going to play. But getting back to the Chargers side of the ball, the good news on here is that Russell Okung and Sam Tevy are both full participants in practice this week, which is huge for the Chargers given their offensive line woes. Last week, they were banged up and were not able to practice all week. For Russell Okung, this is only the second week that he's been a full participant in practice all week since he came back from the pulmonary embolism that cost him a good portion of his season. But David, having both of these guys, Okung and Tevy, to have that kind of offensive line chemistry and have this starting five all together all week, fully participating at practice, is a great sign for the Chargers.
Absolutely. I mean, Russell Okung dealing with a kind of a groin injury the last couple of weeks, is really good to see him back as a full participant in practice alongside Sam Tevy, who had a little minor knee scope where they had to clean some things out. And, you know, looks like you're going to have both of your starting tackles back in time for this game. And, you know, hopefully that bodes well for the Chargers in getting some protection, because Jacksonville definitely has a couple of pass rushers that can get after the quarterback. I mean, they got three guys that have four sacks or more. So, I mean, it's going to be important to have both those guys out there protecting Philip Rivers' blindside and making sure he has a clean pocket.
Yeah, I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are one of the only teams in the NFL that would have an argument as saying, hey, our edge rushers compare with your edge rushers with Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. They have Yannick Ngakoue and also Calais Campbell, who have both wreaked havoc on the NFL over the last couple of seasons. So that is good news for the Chargers, as always, to have their offensive line healthy and out there practicing. But getting to a guy who has been a little banged up and has played through it, Mike Williams comes up with his knee injury as a limited participant in practice both days so far this week. Obviously, it didn't slow him down very much last week, going 5 for 117 yards in the receiving game and also making the biggest play of the game to set up the Chargers' game-tying field goal with only 14 seconds left. So, David, it looks like Mike Williams is going to play. We have no reason to think he's not going to. And at this point of the season, it probably is going to be something that he's going to have to battle with for the rest of the year.
Yeah, no, and I think he's known about that since he heard it very early on in the season. I think it was probably a decision to where, hey, do I, you know, shut it down and have surgery to get this fixed? Or, hey, can I play through this? And obviously, you know, the medical advice that he's received up to this point has indicated that he's been able to play through it. And he's played very, very well through it. I mean, if all goes to plan towards the, you know, the end of this season, he should easily eclipse 1,000 yards receiving. And, you know, that'll be a really good year. Hopefully he can add a couple of touchdowns to that, because, you know, his gutsy performances, you know, going out there with that knee injury, making these crazy acrobatic catches to keep the Chargers in games, I think he needs to be rewarded by getting into the end zone and adding a couple of touchdowns to go along with all those yards. And you know, by the stats, the biggest big play receiver in the NFL this season.
Yeah, averaging 20.5 yards per catch on the season, number one in the NFL. And it's not like the Chargers can't use the help down there in the red zone either. And it'd be pretty weird for him to start his career with a 10-touchdown season bookended by two big goose eggs in his first and third seasons. But at this point of the year, David, this is as healthy as the Chargers are going to be. I mean, Nick DeZumner was a full participant recovering from a concussion this week. Thomas Davis looks like he just got a veteran rest day on Thursday. He didn't practice and it's non-injury related. So right now it looks like the Chargers basically have everyone at their disposal. At this point, all of the injury reasons for the Chargers losing kind of go out the window. You have your full roster at your disposal. There's no excuse that the Chargers can't go out there and not only win this game on Sunday, but to have a great shot at competing in the rest of their games.
Absolutely. I mean, you get both tackles back. You got both this, your safeties back that you were missing for most of the season, Derwin James and Adrian Phillips. And yeah, I mean, I think all the excuses are gone now. I think the Chargers are at their healthiest point, and I think they're in prime position to be able to finish out this year strong and hopefully win all of the last four games remaining on their schedule.
And more than likely they won't, but I do think that this does give the front office and their coaching staff a good glimpse of what this team was supposed to be. So I think you kind of get to see what this team should look like now that everyone is healthy, and then base all of your decisions going into next year on what you see in these last four games. But right now, the Chargers are remarkably healthy, which is not something we get to talk about every week, and they should have everybody able to suit up on Sunday against the Jaguars. But we do have two more segments to get into, getting into our fan voicemails before wrapping things up with John Kegley's all-time series notes and our bold and game predictions coming up right after this. All right, guys. Well, it's time to get into a segment we do every single Friday, and that is our fan voicemail Friday with the Locked On Chargers voicemail. The number is 323-524-7924 if you guys want to get your voice on the show. We were unable to fit one in today, and that is Chargers Homer. Hey, man, we will get to your call next week. We didn't have time today, and you were the last one to call in, and it's not as time sensitive, but we promise we will get to it next week, probably on Monday, because that's usually when we do our other voicemail segment. But we're going to start today with who I think is Pat from Long Beach, who's called in a few times. He doesn't give a name on this one, but let's see what Pat, who I'm pretty sure is Pat, has to say.
Wow, wow, wow. That's really all I can say, fellas. There goes the season for us this year. There's no way, no possible way of making the playoffs now. Every game, all eight losses, defined by one score game. Especially this has topped it off. Like a PI call with 8 seconds left, like, that's when you know, like, curse for our Chargers is just crazy. Yeah, it would have been a whole different story if we could finish drives like we did last year. You know, we'll probably be looking at 10-2, you know, maybe 9-3 up there. But, hey, it's time to look for the future. And I don't know about you guys. I know nobody wants to talk about draft talk yet, but in our position right now, even if we win a couple games, I'd say go after a guy like Tua. You know, yeah, he is banged up. Probably bring Phillip Rivers back for a one-year deal, kind of play him through, see how it goes, and have Tua in his background because of the hip injury anyway. Probably want to have them sit out a good year. All the best quarterbacks sat behind somebody. Time to look towards the draft and to the future and to open up the new stadium next year. Well, that was a run. Thanks a lot for the great content, guys.
All right. Well, I will say that, I mean, with the Chargers and how these seasons have gone when things go awry and all of these games get blown in ridiculous ways, it's not crazy to think that we're cursed. And I agree with you. If the Chargers could finish off drives, they could realistically have a 10-2 and 9-3 record. But that's a big if. I mean, and that's just something that they've really struggled with. Getting into the future, I know you said nobody wants to talk about draft talk yet. Well, it's coming from our fans, I think everyone's pretty much ready to talk about the draft next year. And I will say that we're still working on getting some draft experts on the show. And obviously in the offseason, we'll have a bunch of them. I see how you like Tua. I know a lot of people are going to stay away from Tua right now, David, even though, I mean, he has been one of the best college football players in general over the last couple of seasons, obviously won them a national championship and has played very well. But the injuries are definitely a concern. If you were to take a guy like Tua, in this case, like you're saying, I mean, it would be the perfect scenario if they wanted to go about it the way you want them to, as, you know, draft a guy, let him sit behind a quarterback for a year. You see all the best quarterbacks sit behind someone for a year. The first guys that come to mind, obviously, are, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady wasn't a starter to begin his career. All of those situations have worked out. Realistically, I mean, there's never really a great time to bring a rookie quarterback in, but behind this offensive line, David, and the pieces the Chargers are missing right now, it'd be tough to put a rookie quarterback under those conditions.
Oh, yeah, man, it's a tall order. I mean, the Chargers have holes, obviously, throughout the offensive line. I think, you know, you're really only comfortable with Russell Okung at left tackle. I mean, pretty much every other position could definitely be upgraded. The thing, you know, with Tua, I mean, obviously very exciting player when he's healthy. You know, he has some mobility, can make some great throws. But, you know, going from Phillip Rivers, who has obviously been one of the most durable quarterbacks and just durable NFL players in NFL history, to a quarterback in college who already has some injury history, it's a little bit tough to try to imagine that. But if we were to draft Tua, you know, very early in the first round, I would be comfortable if there was Phillip Rivers there in place for another year. I mean, I know I've said it before, but I do believe that's the best formula for the Chargers, no matter what, no matter if it's Tua or someone else. I think they should draft a quarterback. They need to be thinking about their long-term replacement. But I think, you know, they should use Phillip Rivers' wealth of knowledge that he's acquired throughout his career and just be able to groom this quarterback. And hopefully Phillip is you know, comfortable and okay with doing that. Hopefully, you know, I think that would be the best situation overall for the Chargers going forward.
Yeah, and I like Tua a lot. And really, if you go back to last season, I mean, he would have probably been the number one overall pick in the draft if he was eligible last year. I mean, that's how highly people thought of Tua. But unfortunately, when it's the Chargers and you have the injury history that you have, of course, it's going to scare some fans away. But the Chargers aren't going to get a top three pick in this draft. I mean, they're probably going to be in the top 10, but you're going to need somebody to slide down to you if you think you're going to beat all of the rest of the QB needy teams that might select somebody before you. So a lot of things go into it, but you don't even get a chance at Tua if he's fully healthy. So that's kind of the double-edged sword there. But let's get to Brian from West Monster calling in again. Ask some questions about quarterbacks and who we like coming out of the draft and what traits we want to see from our next starting quarterback.
Hey guys, this is Brian calling out of West Monster, California. And I just got done listening to the podcast on Monday. We were talking about upgrades or changes at the quarterback position, looking towards the draft this coming year. I think one aspect of a new quarterback or a quarterback of the future would be mobility, since we've struggled with, you know, that aspect for a while now. Of the quarterbacks in the college football game right now, who do you think would be the best Phillip Rivers replacement when he leaves, if we do draft a quarterback high? And what traits do you think are the most important? You guys mentioned the possibility of getting a new quarterback. I do think whether we draft one or not, I think we should go with the idea that David, I think, mentioned, was that you go with Rivers next year, you use the money wisely, maybe he takes a pay cut so we can get him the necessary pieces that he needs. Really give him a formidable offensive line to work with and buy him time, and let's see what happens. Give him a chance to play in the new stadium year one and give him some something to work with. All right. And if that doesn't work, then maybe we really, you know, cut bait and go in a different direction. But I think we owe that to him. Him giving us all that he's given for so many years. I think we deserve to give the guy what he needs to succeed. What do you guys think?
All right, Brian. Well, first of all, thanks for calling in again. When you're talking about quarterbacks, I mean, I still have to really delve into who I want next year. I mean, I still have to watch a lot of games, but I've seen a good amount of the games from the top prospects. And when you're talking about the top prospects, you're talking about Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Tua Tagovailoa, and there's a couple other guys that are kind of fringe picks. But one of the things that obviously many Charger fans are going to want to see this year, John, is some of that mobility. And for me, I think mobility is a part of it. I think when you look at college quarterbacks right now, and at least the guys that are going towards the top, like Burrow and Herbert, I mean, these guys aren't running quarterbacks, but they're mobile enough to avoid sacks. They're mobile enough to make things happen with their legs if they have to. And as far as arm strength, I mean, you always want a guy that can just make all the throws. So if it's down to me, I don't need a guy that has a rocket arm or the biggest arm in the draft. I think arms are overrated all the time. But you just need a guy that's going to be able to make all the throws, be able to make those deep out passes, be able to make the throws that you have to fit into tight windows that if you don't have the arm for, can really get away from you and have the other team, you know, pick six it. So, John, for you, when you're looking at the quarterback, what are the traits that you like to see out of them, and who are you looking at as far as next year on a very preliminary basis?
Mobile quarterback is nice. That I would like to look for that, but I don't want someone that's going to be scrambling or look to run first. So I think the number one thing for me has got to be the IQ. Who's got an IQ that will know how to read the play, will be trying to stay in the pocket. If he has to roll out, will roll out and won't be thinking run first like a lot of mobile quarterbacks do when they get in the NFL thinking they're going to make a splashy play. I want the IQ first. Second, I want a guy who is going to be able to make those tough throws. If it's a quick slant, are you going to be able to plant your feet and throw a slant on the mark to a guy in a tight zone and pick up a first down? Regardless of what your mobility is, do you have that arm? And then third would be the mobility part of it. And I don't want someone that's just fast and running around, because if that's the case, then you go for Jalen Hurts. But Jalen Hurts is probably not going to be a good NFL quarterback. And he's just really fast and will look to run first. It needs to be someone who can, if the pressure gets there, he's able to roll out of the pocket, extend the play, kind of like Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson isn't exactly your run first QB. He extends the play, and if he has to run, he will run. But he extends the play by running out of the pocket with his mobility. So that'd be the third thing for me. And some guys on there that you could probably look at would be guys like Jake Fromm from Georgia. There's also Jordan Love, who plays at Utah State. Those guys fit those kind of scenarios. Of course, you would like guys like Justin Herbert, but he's from Oregon, so you can't really expect him to have that IQ. He's got the arm, he's got the talent, but does he have the IQ? I don't know. And then with Tua, he fits that mold too, but he's been injured, so I'm kind of hesitant to go with injury-prone guys, because our experience with past drafts, those injury-prone guys are getting hurt on our team, like Nazir Adderley, for example.
Yeah, and if you're a Chargers fan, it's hard to really get your mind around that. And Brian also was saying that if he likes the strategy of, you know, putting all the pieces in, getting a formidable offensive line for Philip Rivers, like David has suggested, and really we've all kind of suggested in the past, you know, because next year, the problem with this is a Super Bowl ready roster on the top end. I mean, as far as their top end health, when they're healthy, the top end players on this team are more than enough to make a deep playoff run and make it to a Super Bowl. So it's really hard to say, okay, well, now to rebuild. I mean, you'd rather just add a quarterback and hope that he fits in seamlessly. But if you add a rookie quarterback, it's probably going to take a couple years before you really see those results really come to fruition. So for a Super Bowl ready roster, I have no problem with, depending on how the year ends, bring Philip Rivers back for a year, drafting the quarterback of the future if you get the guy you want, which we don't really know who it is. And with Jalen Hurts, it's kind of weird because, you know, you see Lamar Jackson and what everyone said about him coming out of college, and look how that's turned out. So I'm not ready to close the book on Jalen Hurts, even though I think that Lamar Jackson was a better pocket passer than people gave him credit for at Louisville. And I think Jalen Hurts has made a lot of really big time throws. So you never know. And we're going to get much more into that quarterback conversation as the months go on. But we do have Tim calling in, who hasn't called in a while, one of our favorite callers. Let's see what Tim has to say this week.
Hey, guys. It's Tim. Haven't called in a few weeks, but I thought I'd call in after that disastrous piece of shit I looked at yesterday and on the television. I about had a conniption when that referee pulled that flag out of his pocket. That ball was not catchable. And if you look at the film, as far as I'm concerned, I know I listened to you guys' stuff this morning, so I know your opinion. But as far as I'm concerned, you don't throw that flag at that time in the game because you basically gave it away. And I listened to Hayward in his interview. He said just what I saw. The receiver ran into him. He didn't run into the receiver. And the ball was basically, from what I remember, was on its way out of bounds, you know. So it's ridiculous. I think the NFL, I mean, I know the NFL sets up games, and I don't know what they were thinking there. Because when they looked at that, they probably said, hey, let's give this rookie a win, you know, his first game. Let's just give this rookie a win. Anyway, on to other things. Hey, I called it all the way back in the Texans game, after the Texans game. This season was in the tank. Now people are jumping on board after the last few games, but all the way back then, you could tell this team wasn't right, whether you think about the injuries or not. This team wasn't right. The offensive line is shit. Phillip Rivers, please go somewhere else to save yourself. My guess is Phillip's gone. If he's going to another team, he's going to play for somebody else because he's put up with it too long, almost like I've put up with it too long. I'm about ready to jump ship, man. This is a joke. They need to fire this coaching staff. They need to get rid of Telesco. And move on. They need to get rid of Spamos too, but that ain't going to happen. So, but, you know, come on. Bring in a real coach. Bring in a real coach, and let's get the ship righted. And probably have to pick up a rookie quarterback now. This boy in LSU looks pretty good. I think we should flop all the rest of our games to get a high pick and get the best quarterback out there. Or go grab a mammoth offensive tackle. You know, left side offensive tackle. Get rid of some of these jokers who can't push the offensive line forward and get some guys who are road graders out there so our running game works out better and that they can protect the quarterback, whoever that's going to be. I hope to God it's not Tyrod Taylor. Come on. Ridiculous. Anyway, hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. Later.
So Tim gets into a lot right there. I'm not going to totally rehash the pass interference, no pass interference call, because as you said, you know how we feel about it. But, I mean, Tim, that was kind of my point on it too, is that I do not want to see the game end like that. As soon as I saw the contact, I knew they were going to throw the flag, but you could say that ball was uncatchable. I'm fine with that, but you never want to see the game end on a flag. So I know Casey Hayward said that, you know, the guy ran into him, and he absolutely did, and that's the refs wanted. Absolutely what the Broncos wanted. I mean, they baited him into it, and they fell for it. But where you're saying about getting rid of all the coaching staff and flopping to try to get Joe Burrow, unfortunately, I think the Joe Burrow hype train is a little too high right now. I think he's probably going in the top three, or at least out of the Chargers draft position where they would be able to realistically move up to get him. But, John, what do you think about Tim saying, you know, it's time to clean house, get rid of Telesco, get rid of the coaching staff, all of the above? What did you think about that, and do you agree with that sentiment at all?
I think it's definitely a possibility, but the Chargers probably won't do anything like that because it's the Chargers. But I would like to clean house and start all over again if Phillip Rivers is done after this year. If he decides to retire, then you basically go through a whole rebuilding stage and you keep maybe like your top four or eight playmakers that are young and productive, like a Keenan Allen, Desmond King, you know, Joey Bosa, keep guys like that. And then everybody else, you start fresh. You try to replace them as the years go on, and in about 4 or 5 years, you should be starting to contend for the playoffs with a young team that's got chemistry together and is rebuilding, and you have new coaches that are going to be able to have built what they want rather than Anthony Lynn coming in with what Mike McCoy had and having to deal with Tom Telesco bringing in injured players all the time. Maybe you'll have more aggressive coaches. I would not mind a full rebuild, because what's been going on the past like 10 years has been bad. We keep getting injured players. We keep getting coaches that can't finish in the end. We have a couple of playoffs appearances, but then we suck the next year. I think it would be a good idea to clean house.
Yeah, for me, Anthony Lynn, my biggest thing with him is I just don't necessarily always understand what he's bringing to this team. I mean, I understand he gets the command of that locker room, and he's a very well-respected guy throughout the league, but he's not bringing you anything offensively or defensively that's worthwhile, so it's hard to really justify that other than he's getting the respect of his team, but not enough to have them execute down the stretch of games or to really be out there looking like they're well coached. So I don't hate that at all, but we're running a little short on time. So let's get to Ed calling in because he needs a place to vent.
Hi guys, this is Ed listened to your podcast, but it's the first time I call, and I just had to call to vent. Because unfortunately, as Charger fans, we really don't have a lot of avenues to vent these days. Again, this team has again found a way to lose again. Yesterday was just another punch in the gut in a season that has been just an absolute waste. The pass interference call that basically gave the Broncos the game should not have been called. It was not an egregious pass interference. They were both going for the ball. Yes, Casey Hayward didn't turn his head until maybe the last minute, but I think the ref has to know that that's what the Broncos were doing. They were trying to look for a pass interference call. They got it. I would have been, happier if the Bronco wide receiver would have caught the ball at least. To have an official determine the outcome of a game like that on such a questionable call, I think is just ridiculous. But again, this team, I've been a fan of this team all of my life, and I'm 50 years old, and we just find new and exciting ways to work, to lose. This was another one of those games. I feel that we are the North Turner Chargers again, where they would find ways to lose. This was as bad, if not worse, than the Ed Hockley play against the Broncos that year when they blew the whistle after a fumble that Jay Cutler did. I do agree, though, that the team is basically shooting itself in the foot constantly. Philip has not been right. I think he's playing a little bit scared, to be honest. I don't think he has the gunslinger mentality that he has usually, because I think maybe he's, sort of looking behind his shoulder for the first time in 14 years of starting. I do agree that the last two games against the Raiders and against the Chiefs, he was pretty much 90% of the reason that we lost. He was better yesterday. Yes, he did throw a bad interception, but it was early in the game and interceptions happen. I do like it when Phillip Rivers is basically going up and down the field, and I didn't see any aggressive play calling the whole game until they absolutely had to do it, and that pass to Mike Williams was just really great. Mike Williams, I think, is going to be one of the best, if not already, one of the best big play receivers in the game. But again, thank you guys. Yesterday I wanted to vent so much, and I found your podcast today, and I just had to vent.
All right, Ed. Well, first, let me tell you, thank you for finding us and calling in to vent. I know it can be very tough, and we're always here to vent with you guys because we're all feeling it right now. And as far as the Chargers finding ways to lose, I mean, you're 50, you've been a Charger fan all your life. That's a lot of heartbreaking losses to get to. But David, what do you think about the fact here that Ed says that Phillip Rivers hasn't been right, which is something I think we'd all agree with, not playing like a gunslinger and playing scared and the Chargers not being aggressive till the end of games. And also just no matter who the coaching staff is, I mean, he brings up Norv Turner here, that whoever it is, whoever's out there on the field, the Chargers, no matter who it is, are always going to find ways to lose games.
Well, I mean, I think that Phillip Rivers is always going to have that gunslinger mentality. I think that's just how he plays the game. But after these recent slew of turnovers and interceptions, I think you can't help but be a bit gun-shy. I mean, you want to hold on to the football. And he said on multiple occasions that he's always conscious about protecting the football. But after the pretty heavy criticism, it's warranted that he's received, that I think he might, be trying to, take the sack or hold onto the ball or just not throw that interception. I mean, it's you can't say it hasn't affected him. I mean, I think that's definitely, something that has bothered Phillip, but that's just the way it's gone. This has obviously not been a prototypical good season for Phillip, but if you look at throughout his career, sometimes he has those off seasons and sometimes he comes out and blows everybody away with his ability. I mean, that's just who Phillip Rivers is. That's the type of quarterback that he is, is going to be and has been throughout his career.
Yeah, and I mean, I think he is kind of still playing like a gunslinger in some aspects. There are also the times when you see him kind of pulling back on throws because he wants to be more careful. So that's what you really don't want to see. And I think that's part of the problem is Phillip Rivers trying to rein it in and not really be himself. We've still seen some amazing plays, like you mentioned, the Mike Williams catch was awesome. I mean, best catch of the year for him. And you're still seeing some big plays. I mean, his average yards per attempt are still basically his career average. So it's not as if he's just dinking and dunking now. There's just been some really bad throws in the mix, surrounded by some of the really good throws that make Phillip Rivers such a good quarterback. But yeah, I know you also said something about the pass interference call, and my biggest thing on that is always going to be for the coaching staff to put them in that position is unacceptable. So whatever happened after that, I understand the no call and everyone thinking it's a bad call, and I agree with the Broncos, that's all they were trying to do, and the refs bailed them out on that drive. But at the same time, for the coaching staff to not be prepared for that play, in my opinion, is just the worst absolute part about that. But we do have one more segment to get into, getting into John Kegley's all-time series notes and our predictions for the game against the Jaguars coming up right after this. But guys, before we get into our bold and game predictions and John's all-time series notes, are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all of your sports knowledge into cash in your pockets. Between all of the sports going on right now, guys, I mean, we have NBA, college basketball, hockey, college football, you name it. Pretty much everything is going on right now except for baseball. And the place with the best lines and the best place to bet on any sports right now is at mybookie.ag. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. If you guys are tired of watching games from the couch this season, then get in with MyBookie, who wants to get your mind off everything else and back in on the game. If you guys join right now, MyBookie has a special offer. They will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra free $1,000 in money to play with. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. All you guys got to do is visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. And of course, as we do every week, I need to tell you guys about our favorite car dealership over here at Locked On Chargers, and that is Metro Infinity. You can find them right off the 210 in Monrovia, and you have to swing by their brand new multi-million dollar facility and check out the amazing selection of new and used cars. They are the only dealer in California that is family owned, and they've been in business for over 25 years. One of my favorite parts about Metro Infinity is that if you don't like going into the dealership and spending hours there, it's no problem at all because they will bring your new car and the paperwork to your home or office to complete the whole transaction there. If you guys go in there and tell them that Locked On Chargers sent you over there, you can even get an extra $500 off any car purchase. They take pride in not being your typical car dealer where it takes hours to buy a car. They don't play games, and they want their customers to have a luxury car buying experience. If you are thinking about a new Infiniti or even in the market for any new car, please give them a chance to earn your business. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or at metroinfinity.com. And when you get down there, tell them Locked On Chargers sent you over there. All right, guys, time to get into the final segment of the week. And as always, we start with John Kegley talking about this all-time series between the Chargers and the Jaguars, a long, illustrious history of games. So, John, let us know what we need to know about the Jaguars versus the Chargers.
Well, Daniel, the Chargers have basically owned this all-time series. Woo! They've won of the 10 games that they have played. If you take away the very first meeting and the very last meeting, Chargers would be 7-1, but you know, you can't really do that. Yeah. But the last game they played, the Chargers should have won. We all remember that game, right?
Blake Bortles, two interceptions in the last 2 minutes. Somehow they lose.
2 minutes. Oh my God.
And then we get beat by our former kicker, Lambeau.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and that was a team that made it deep into the playoffs, and we almost beat them.
Should have beat the Patriots.
Yes, and then there's a cool little stat that I found while going through this, and that is six out of the 10 games that the Chargers have played against the Jaguars, the Chargers have scored at least 30 points in six of them. So You could see a high-scoring game, and this is with some of our bad years too, like 2015 when we won 31-25. That year we were 4-12. 2016, we won 38-14. And we were 5-11 that year. So even with these years of having bad years and still scoring 30 on them, it could to have another 30 point this week. You never know, but there's been some fun games in here too. Like on Monday Night Football back in 2011, the game that almost got me fired from my job because I skipped work to watch it. Mm-hmm. And Ryan Mathis had a field day against the Jaguars, as did Antonio Gates as well. There's been some fun games in here. It's always been some fun offense, but the Chargers defense seems to always step up. They've given up like 20, 14, 14, 6, 14, 13. Like there's been a lot of times where the Jaguars couldn't even get past 20 points. So we could see a high scoring game this week.
Or at least from the Chargers, but I mean, it's still the Chargers. So we'll see. But obviously a pretty short history with the Jaguars not being in the league for a very long time, but it is one of the few all-time series that the Chargers actually lead in the win-loss column, so we will absolutely take it. But let's go ahead and get into our defensive bold predictions for this week, and I'm going to go first because I want Joey Bosa, and in this segment, if you want Joey Bosa, you go first. We've seen a little bit of a quiet couple of games from Joey Bosa, no sacks in the last two games. I think he breaks out in this one with a good matchup against that Jacksonville Jaguars offensive line and Gardner Minshew, who can hold the ball a little too long. I'm going to say Joey Bosa goes for three sacks and two forced fumbles in this game on his way back to us talking about how he's one of the best defensive players in the NFL. David, where are you going defensively for your bold prediction this week?
So I'm going with the up-and-comer Desmond King. I think Desmond King's, you know, hasn't really been targeted quite a lot, or, you know, we just haven't really been saying his name a whole lot, which is not a bad thing if you're a corner, but I think he's going to get back in the spotlight in this one. I think he's going to get two interceptions off of Gardner Minshew in this game, and they're going to really help the Chargers hopefully pull out a victory.
Yeah, and you'd love to see Desmond King step in front of one of those really easy 7-yard passes the Chargers are seemingly willing to give up on every single snap. And I think once he gets the ball in his hands after an interception in open field, I mean, good luck. The guy was an all-pro punt returner last year when he remembered how to catch punts. So I think that could definitely happen. John, where are you going defensively this week for your bold prediction?
I am going to go with Derwin James, and I am going to go with him getting three interceptions in his second game back. Derwin James, three interceptions, just like the double three on his jersey.
Hell yeah, I like that. I mean, it would make more sense if it was three interceptions in the third game that he was back, 33. But I'll take it either way. Derwin James, I mean, just a playmaker. I think Derwin James could have a sack and an interception and a pass deflection and probably a forced fumble in this game. I mean, he's just the kind of guy that can fill up the stat sheet in those ways. And I will just shout out, last week I made a defensive ball prediction about the whole Chargers defense to give up less than 175 yards, and god damn it, they almost did it. So maybe I should have went with something team related this week. But let's get into the offensive side of the ball. David, who are you going with offensively this week to have success against this Jaguars defense?
So in my keys to success, I talked about getting the ball to Hunter Henry early and often, and I think that the Chargers are going to do that because they listen to the Locked On Chargers podcast. So
of course
they are going to get the ball to Henry a lot. I'm going to say 8 catches, 120 yards, and 2 red zone touchdowns.
I love that. I mean, if he's not the guy that's getting targeted in the red zone, you want it to be Mike Williams. I mean, both of those guys deserve some more red zone targets. I mean, Keenan Allen last week was looking really frustrated after not getting some red zone targets. So maybe everyone needs more red zone targets, but the Chargers need more red zone touchdowns. So as far as a bold prediction, I like that. And it might just be a bold prediction that the Chargers get 2 touchdowns in the red zone. That should have been my bold prediction. John, where are you going offensively this week?
I'm going to go with Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler. I'm going to say that they combined for 250 yards rushing this week and 3 TDs.
Woof. Well, if there is a week to go with the running backs, and Justin Jackson looks like he'll be back on the field this week. I mean, if they play him, I mean, I thought he was going to be back last week. This week he is totally off the injury report, so maybe we'll see him as well get in on the action. But this Jaguars defense, if they have a weak spot when they've been a pretty mediocre to subpar defense for a lot of points this season, those would be the area that you want to target. The running backs should have a really good day. I'm going to go with one running back in particular with a really good matchup, and that is Austin Eckler. And I specifically think he's going to do a lot out of the backfield. We've seen him be super effective with the passes that he catches. We've seen his targets go down in the passing game over the last few weeks. So I want to see Austin Ekeler more involved, especially in the passing game against these linebackers. I think he needs to get at least 7 or 8 targets in this game. And if he does, I think he's going to have 8 catches for 150 yards and 2 touchdowns through the air. I just think he has such a juicy matchup that it's hard for me not to go with Austin Ekeler this week, and a guy that we always want to see get involved offensively. So let's go ahead and get into our game predictions, and let's be quick, boys. We are going long. John, who are you picking to win this week?
I'm going to go bold with this one. I'm going to say Chargers win it, and I'm going to go Chargers 38, Jaguars 14.
Damn, Chargers in a blowout. We've only seen that. I mean, you can count it on 2 fingers how many times we've seen that. I was going to say 1 hand, but that was giving them way too much credit. David, what do you think is going to happen this week?
I mean, I actually like that from John. I don't think it's going to be quite that many points, but I do think the Chargers are going to win. I think it's just like the Chargers to go out there and put together a dominating win after they're already eliminated pretty much from the playoffs. So I think they're going to win 28-10.
And an even more Chargers thing to do would be to win against a team that is directly going up against you as far as draft position, because the Jaguars right now are right around where the Chargers are. So this would almost give them a higher pick than the Chargers have in this upcoming draft. So for those reasons, I think I'm going to pick the Chargers as well. I was going to pick the Jaguars because, hey, we're talking about the Chargers. So we always want to think, what's the most Chargery thing that could happen? Like last week, a pass interference giving a win to the Broncos. So I think the most Chargery thing that could happen this week is they actually pull it off, hurt their draft stock in a season that doesn't matter, kind of like David said. So I'm going to go Chargers 24. I still don't totally trust the offense. And I'm going to go Jaguars 17 because, I mean, it's always a one-score game with this team, no matter what happens for the most part. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. Until next week, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers. Homer, we will get to you next week, buddy, when the Locked On Chargers voicemail. If you guys want to join him, make sure to call 323-524-7924 because every Chargers voicemail gets played on the show. But if you don't already, subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. Thank you to everyone who called in and for continuing to support us during this tough season. And of course, as always, we'll be back with you guys next week. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.